The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, gather around. It is Eclipse Monday. And we are now a scant three hours and change from where the disk of the moon passes in front of the disk of the sun. And there has been, there was such a such an appetite for what I shared this morning about the and Mike Pence posted it, and it was pretty great. It was something from a Christian school head of school, and it was something that resonated greatly. So I'm going to share it again real quick, because this was as you get out in your yard or do whatever you're doing, I'll get back to the little portion of the Trump Truth Social post that has everybody reacting, some positively, some negatively, as Trump delivers his stance on abortion. And nothing he said was going to please everybody. If he came out as pro-life as I am, he could well lose. Does that help anybody? If he provides some qualifiers at the moment, asks us to embrace post Roe v. Wade, states' rights, everybody figure it out for yourself for right now. Is that something I'm willing to do? I am. And I'm the most pro-life guy you know. But I also recognize that if the country's not where I am yet, he's going to lose. And we cannot have that. So I'll play that here in just a second. But if you roll backwards through my X feed into the weekend, you find a little piece posted by our friend Mike Pence, who now has a lot of time on his hands and is using it well. Better than he was a few months ago in that futile run for president. It is a piece from a gentleman named Stephen Danish, the head of school of Emmanuel Christian School, Springfield, Virginia. And he writes, "Scientists tell us that the sun is about 400 times larger than the moon, but it's also about 400 times farther away. Every 18 months or so, they align perfectly so that the moon's shadow passes over the earth, and those in the path of that shadow see a solar eclipse. It's often described as one of the great coincidences of our solar system. Astronomers also tell us there are almost 300 moons in our solar system, and ours is the only one with the exact size and distance to perfectly match the sun and produce the amazing spectacle we see somewhere on our planet about every year and a half. If our moon was any smaller, the sky would not darken. And if it was any larger, we wouldn't have that brilliant corona. For many, it's a source of wonder that the one place where these amazing eclipses occur is the one place where there are observers to see them." In one of his humorous harangues about life below the Beltway, Washington Post contributor Gene Weingarten once admitted, "I am a devout atheist, but I can't explain why the moon is exactly the right size and gets positioned so precisely between the earth and the sun. The solar eclipses are perfect. It bothers me." And so it is that this extraordinary event has been witnessed by our planet throughout history. "As a Christian educator, I'm reminded that God reveals his truth to us in two ways, through the general revelation of his natural world and through the special revelation of his written word. Psalm 19 encapsulates it. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. There are no words, and yet the message of God's existence and power is heard everywhere." So today, whether it's visible through any kind of cloud cover that we have in DFW, or maybe it's something you see images of on the TV box, The heavens today do indeed declare the glory of God. And our sky, the skies of America, where to whatever degree it's visible, they do proclaim his handiwork. So, happy Eclipse Day. 866-660-5759. Speaking of God and policies and things in the news and stuff that's political, we had a very interesting guest at our church this past weekend at Fellowship Church. Ed Young, welcome for a little Q&A. A guy who has been front of mind in America for more than a couple of decades. And I just haven't really thought about him much. I've appreciated his success. It's like, sure, good guy, cool guy, neat guy, does a lot of good things, does some shows that seem to make some sense. Lately, I have to tell you, this man may be one of the most valuable voices in America today. Don't get ahead of me. You know what I'm talking about? Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil in the house at Fellowship Church yesterday, and he was awesome. Got a couple of excerpts for you. It's funny. Dr. Phil will contort himself to say that he's not political and then go out and say all kinds of things that are absolutely conservative. He was not shy at Fellowship yesterday at all about invoking God, saying that he thinks that God wants him to do things about this and say things about this. And he's got a new book out now called We've Got Issues. And boy, do we. And he's just incredibly valuable. And I'll have a little excerpt of that as we move forward. So, all right, 866-660-5759. Also, Governor Abbott was on Fox News Sunday. Martha McCallum was filling in and talked a little bit about his dust up with New York City Mayor Eric Adams this past week. As you know, it's funny. We're sitting there focused like a laser beam on November 5, and we got to win. Borders going our way. Economy going our way. Education going our way. Gender radicalism. Those are things that I think people are going to seek an escape from. The abortion issue is slowly going our way. Very, very slowly. Mark time in the following way. In 1973, America was positively cavalier about the life of the unborn when the Supreme Court falsely found a right to abortion in the Constitution. It's just not there. And as the 70s became the 80s and through the Reagan presidency and the ascendancy of more pro-life voices, people started to think a little bit about what the carnage of abortion was. And they at the very least became less lackadaisical about at least late-term abortion. And then as the 80s became the 90s, became the aughts, just inexorably, Americans became more tolerant of certain restrictions, where we're at the point right now where most Americans think that about 15 weeks that past that, you just shouldn't be terminating pregnancies at all. Okay. There's a difference, though, between people feeling that way and people thinking the government should mandate it. I want the government to mandate it in the same way that the government mandates that you can't take your kid out in the backyard and beat him to death. That's where I'm looking to get. Is to a national abortion ban at some point. I mean, at some point in the pregnancy and at some point in our national timeline. Right now, it does not appear that there's an American consensus for that. As such, if President Trump had gotten out this morning on Truth Social and said, coming at you with a 15-week abortion ban, or six, or whatever, heartbeat, or national heartbeat bill, he might have signed his November death warrant. Now, as I take a look, and hang on a second, there's one who really, really, really put it well. There are a couple of them. Hang on a second. There's a bunch of them. That real pro-lifers will never sacrifice the cause for political expediency. Okay. I get that. And if I thought that this was like a move toward the pro-choice, mealy-mouthed middle that would remain the case forever, I would identify it as such. But I think this is what progress looks like. Do you know what a moving of the tectonic plates of the earth it required to get Roe v. Wade overturned? We had to have Trump elected, had to have Barrett, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh confirmed, had to have the Dobbs decision handed down, had to have abortion handed back to the states. Just this is a wild roller coaster ride of constitutional sanity that was really very, very recent. And I understand the appeal of I want it all now. My way right now or nothing. Except that stance in 2024 could lose us the election. We are in Dallas. Rena. Hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. And I want you to know that I'm 100% against abortion. In my mind, it's a murder, even if it's rape. But I can go along with that. But all I'm saying, if we stick to that, we're going to lose the election, and then they're going to have abortion in every corner. So what are we going? I feel exactly like you, almost, you know, because I have changed my mind. It's just like with drugs. You can talk until you're blue in the face. People will still do drugs. People will still do tattoo, you know. So I think we have to be a little bit flexible. I work with clients. And 25, 30, and they don't care with the border. They don't care about the economy. They care about abortion. They want to have an abortion, and that's it. And I talk to them, and I talk to them, and I cannot change their mind. So I'm saying they're going to vote for Biden, and then, you know, everybody's going to have an abortion. So, and I'm a very religious person, very conservative. I'm 100% million times Trump. I pray for him every single morning. Every single, I compare him to King David, that everybody was against him. And I just, please, tell that message to the people, because we're going to lose the election again and again.
Rena, thank you so much. She is exhibit A of exactly what I'm talking about. Very pro-Trump, very pro-life, very religious, very conservative, and yet recognizing that we're on a path here, and the path may not call for us to get the 100% pro-lifeness that we want from the federal government this election cycle. And that if we put all the eggs in that basket, and man, that, woo, she says she has clients who are 25, 30, totally believe this. Because and I think everybody cares about the economy of virtually every age, but the average 27-year-old doesn't care about the border. But just on principle, And as I listen to this thing, we'll play a little bit more of it here in just a second. As President Trump on Truth Social talks about, hey, you go do what you want to do in your state. This is what I would do on college campuses. When I would go to talk to Alan Sachs's classes at UTA, when I would go to SMU or TCU and have just an auditorium filled with probably thoroughly liberal, 19, 20-year-olds and say, look, when I tell you there's no right to abortion in the Constitution, I don't tell you that because I'm pro-life. I tell that to you because there's no right to abortion in the Constitution. So when we talk about overturning Roe v. Wade, that's not going to create a nationwide abortion ban. It'll mean every state can do what it wishes to do. Doesn't that sound like the definition of reasonable? And I'd get grumbling from people who fictitiously believe that there is indeed a right to abortion in the Constitution. They believe it's there because they wanted it to be there. We see what we wish to see. But I got a lot of nodding heads and a lot of grudging agreement that giving this back to the states was something that made sense. So if various states establish a track record of protecting life and the value and the moral heft of protecting life is something that can have an osmosis effect and spread to sort of the purple states and then spread ultimately. I mean, I know, dare I dream of a world in which California and New York protect the unborn? Well, I'll tell you, it depends on population centers and such, but before they get to the point where they do, maybe America gets to the point where we're ready to say as a nation that we're going to protect life. We're not there in 2024. I want to get us there. And we can't get there by reelecting Biden. We're in Dallas. Roger, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Mr. Davis.
Hey.
So you know how the recent news came out that Mitch McConnell's not going to lead the Republicans anymore?
Yes.
Starting the next session?
Correct.
So I had this, I heard that John Cornyn was in the discussions of becoming the leader.
Yes.
And
he has announced his candidacy to be Senate Republican leader.
It got me thinking about 2026, and personally, I would really love to see Ken Paxton, because remember he took on all the rhinos, like Dave Phelan and Jeff Mateer.
Oh, yes.
Anyone else?
Oh, yeah.
So, I know Cornyn's been in since, like, 2002, so maybe he's part of yesteryear's Republican Party, but if he becomes leader, he'll have, like, the whole national backing of the Republican Party kind of leaning towards his side. So will he become maybe too difficult to beat for anybody?
Gotcha. Good question. In 2026, there's a lot of buzz, for those who don't know, about maybe Attorney General Ken Paxton or somebody challenging John Cornyn if he decides to run for re-election in 2026. His willingness to run for Republican leader in the Senate signals to me that he absolutely is on board for running again in 2026. If he becomes Senate Republican. Listen, if we're lucky enough, if we're blessed enough to become the majority in the Senate, and he actually becomes Senate Majority Leader, is your question, that we'll be feeling so great about that, and he'll have so much broad national Republican support that he'll be harder to beat? Roger?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the short answer is maybe. There's an argument for yes. It is kind of cool to have the Senate Majority Leader from your state. In a Trump presidency, and this is funny, Trump made Cornyn better there for a while. I think more recently we've seen the real guy, which is not as conservative as we'd like on some things. In a second Trump term, in order to have success, might we see a better Cornyn as Senate Majority Leader in the calendar years 2025 and 26? Maybe. So I think if there's anything that's going to make him harder to beat, it'll be his better behavior, his better track record. Because ultimately, the title itself may not matter as much. Ask Dade Phelan how much titles matter, because he was Speaker of the House. And lost his election, and didn't come in first in his election in his district. So I think the number of people interested in primarying Cornyn wouldn't care that much that he's Senate Majority Leader, but they would care if, as Senate Majority Leader in a second Trump term, he shows a willingness to rise up and tough it up and be more conservative, which is possible. So I think ultimately his performance is what will tell the tale. Great question, though. Thank you. 9:25. All right. Let us work our way into the bottom of the hour news burst with Nikki Whaley. And then Trump's abortion comment from this morning, and a couple of Dr. Phil pronouncements from the stage of my church, chatting with Ed Young at Fellowship yesterday. And it just, our eyes just popped out. The Dr. Phil, who for decades has sort of just been sort of the sensible counselor guy offering help to fractured families and et cetera, now, with just the kind of common sense that he has a special flavor of bringing, is making him one of the most important voices in America today. And you'll hear why here in just a moment. Right now, you're going to hear some news bursts with Nikki Whaley. Mark Davis, 9:31. A little Duran Duran. New moon on Monday. Boom. Obviously Monday, right? And obviously a new moon. Eclipses can only take place during a new moon. The new moon is when, you know, the moon is lit from the back. We don't see it. And obviously, with the sun over there, and the moon will pass between us and the sun, obviously the moon is thus lit from the back. Eclipses only take place during the new moon. And this new moon is on a Monday. Duran Duran, look at there. How great was that? Okay, 866-660-5759. Here is the crux of what President Trump gave us. This will splay out all over today's news. Not even the eclipse can knock it off the headlines of the rest of today. And so we're going to see what the reactions are. But this was what folks have been reacting most to here on the show in the couple of hours since he released it.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother.
I know. And this is where the text line and other places. Mark, I thought you opposed the rape. Of course I do, because I am staunchly, genuinely pro-life. The country doesn't agree with me on this enough yet. I'm willing to take the time to get the country to agree with me about this over time and to achieve through a long game the destination of having a pro-life nation. It ain't going to happen in November of 2024. The opposite may happen. Floating out, having Trump get out there and talk about making federal law out of the degree of pro-lifeness that I have in my heart, he could lose to Biden. And then how many babies have we saved? Who have we helped with that?
Follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently and very sadly a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
So I watched. I guess it's the third time I've gone through it now. Once on my own time, and then once for your benefit, and now a second visit here for show purposes. Is it as pro-life as I am? Obviously, demonstrably not. Is it the way you win in 2024? I believe it is, which enables me to be tolerant of it. And I feel you. I get it. There's a couple of folks on the text line. A couple of folks have just said, "Listen, we can't compromise. We can't." For political expediency, relax the degree to which we're pro-life. I'm not doing that. I don't want you to do it either. I'm not either. At no point here, does President Trump in particular, shocker bulletin, Trump may not be as pro-life as I am. He may not be as pro-life as you are, but he gave us justices to overturn Roe v. Wade. And if he is elected, he'll be president for 4 more years. That's it. Then it's time for somebody else. And maybe in 2028, maybe by then we'll sense that, a President DeSantis or a President whoever succeeding Trump to be the 48th president would be able to have stewardship over a conversion of the public taste and the public opinion and the public consensus to where we could actually begin to debate a national abortion ban to protect babies in all 50 states. We're not there yet. And I want to get us there. And I'm willing to be a part of the army of folks that that gets us there. So, all right. So there's that. So interestingly, I didn't think that I'd be knocking out a lot of juxtaposition of Donald Trump and Dr. Phil. But what do they have in common? Tough love and truth in a time when even some of the foundations of what we used to understand are dashed against the rocks. Dr. Phil was at my church yesterday with Pastor Ed Young, and one of his big pushes, and there are a lot of people who are doing this, is that the miracle of this phone right here in my hand, it is a miracle of technology. And as I've said of so many things, so many technological things, they are marvels. They are incredible. On balance, I guess I'm glad we have them. I mean, of course. But they also have provided us a window to our own souls. And that has not been pretty, collectively and in some cases individually. There is a reason why the suicide rates among children, why everybody has anxiety, why everybody has mental health crises. It is this stupid phone. It is this. It is the world in your hand. Your 13-year-old can't handle it. And the world is trying to get to your teenager and do terrible things to him or her. And you're letting it happen by suggesting that your eighth grader has privacy rights. Are you high? Anyway, a little bit of Dr. Phil from yesterday about the degree to which he said that it used to be if a bunch of people who were kind of lunatics gathered in a barn in Nebraska, you know, their lunacy only extended out to the mailbox at the end of the road or maybe, you know, some nearby town. Now it's everywhere.
We have more cults active in America today than at any time ever before today. Hmm. The estimate is we have close to 10,000 cults active in America today. And people are signing up on the internet and talk about some strange ducks. We got some strange ducks out there peddling all kinds of alternatives to God and to religion. And as a result, I'm seeing things in our country that made me think, wow, I know some things I need to talk about, and people are less willing to speak out now than they have been in the last 75 years because of cancel culture. Like if you take a position, then boy, they're going to come after you. The hounds are going to be on you and get you canceled at work, get you canceled with if you're on TV with the advertisers, mm-hmm. with all of that sort of stuff. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I guess I've been around so long that...
It was just tremendous. It was just tremendous. And here, I'll tell you, it was just an ad here. Hang on a second.
Somebody has to stand up and speak out, and I just believe that's what God wants me to do. And I think that this is a book of unification. But
it's called We've Got Issues.
That 70 or 80% in the middle who don't speak up most of the time, they just kind of look, live and let live. And you can only do that until people start hijacking your narrative, until they start hijacking science, right. biology, history, common sense. And at some point, you got to say, all right, enough's enough and too much is too much, and this is too much, so I'm pushing back. And that's what this book is all about. I set out in there the principles that I think are important for any culture, any society to survive. And number one is be who you are on purpose. Be who you are on purpose. Live with intention. And to do that, you've got to really be prayerful. You got to really think in your heart and pray about who am I intended to be? Look, this life is no dress rehearsal. This is it. We get one time through this pass, yes, and we have to ask ourselves, what am I intended to do? What am I meant to be? What is my purpose for being here? Why am I here? And for me, it wasn't selling shrimp out of a van down by the river.
This was Dr. Phil in his getting some evangelical wind in his sails. It was amazing.
For me, it was to talk about things that matter to people who care, and figure out what that was, which means you have to listen, and then you have to stand up and speak truth to these people that are peddling fiction. Truth to these people that are peddling some made-up reality. Truth to people that are rejecting objectivity, science, empiricism, faith, all of those things. You got to stand up and speak truth to those people.
That's it. And Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil, God love him. That's fantastic. Yeah, his book is We've Got Issues, which is certainly true. Okay, so as we bear down on Eclipse Day, I think it will vary across parts of Texas in terms of the kind of cloud cover that we are going to have. It is looking a little dicey. It's looking a little bit dicey in terms of what it's going to look like at one or two. But hang on a second. I think if I'm using the Pocket Delcus in my phone here, it now shows partly cloudy all the way through one through noon and one and two. Now that's here in Irving where the studios are. It may differ in other locations, so we'll see how this all goes. Hope we all get a glimpse of this, because it really is, it's pretty darn remarkable. It is. These are the heavens that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in them. A fairly obvious musical exit next. The album, of course, is Dark Side of the Moon. The 10th and final track is called Eclipse. So as David Gilmour, Roger Waters, and the boys take us out and I release you to the rest of your Eclipse Day, we'll see how this all works out. And I'm guessing talk about it some tomorrow. Amid various other things that are in the news. So along those lines, God bless our country, our troops, and our families. Thanks to and from producer Rhonda K. Moreland on Twitter at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Thank you, Jimmy Kersey, for filling in for Matt today. Thank you, Nikki Whaley, for news excellence. Have a fantastic Monday. And we will see you tomorrow morning for the Tuesday program. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m., The Answer. Follow us on Twitter at Mark Davis, Mark Davis Show on Facebook, and we'll see you in the morning for the Tuesday morning show.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.